And now, Profiles in Courage, U.S. Presidential Edition. December 25th, 1776. General George Washington leads his troops across the Delaware River to fight the British. Then leads them back. Then back again. Not sure which side he should be on. June 25th and 26th, 1876. The U.S. 7th Cavalry under General George Armstrong Custer is virtually wiped out in an ambush by several hostile Indian tribes. President Ulysses S. Grant displays the toughness for which he was famous by noting, "Well, we did kind of do a lot to provoke them, you know what I mean." December 7th, 1941. Japanese forces conduct brutal surprise attack on U.S. forces at Pearl Harbor. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously calls it a date which will live in infamy. On all sides, because let's face it, there's a lot of blame to go around here. September 11th, 2001. Religious extremists perpetrate the most successful terrorist attack in world history, killing almost 3,000 U.S. citizens. President George W. Bush famously stands atop the World Trade Center wreckage and declares, "We really need to look at ourselves and understand what it is we did to make them so darned angry." August 12th, 2017. One woman is killed, many others are injured, when a sick, Nazi-sympathizing fuck rams his car into people counter-protesting a rally by hate-spewing bigoted white supremacists. President Donald J. Trump. Did I really just say that? Bravely blames extremists on many sides. Many sides. Well, what do you want? They are my base.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm your host, David Leventhal. On today's show, we will be covering the news and we will be talking about what a visit to the birthplace of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt teaches us about today's politics and today's society. Starting off with some not happy news. Obviously, Charlottesville, Virginia. The Unite the Right rally. They may be scum, but I guess they do like rhymes just like the rest of us. Last week, for faithful listeners, we talked on our show about the dangers of empowering white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the KKK, the usual scum of the earth. We talked on this show about how we should not be so cavalier in dismissing the threat posed by the ultra-right, and how this danger is something that we need to be wrestling with before it becomes even greater than it is now. Well, we hate to be shown to be so prescient so quickly, but here we are, back revisiting the empowerment of the ultra-right in America. The roaches are crawling out of their holes. When white nationalist leader Richard Spencer mocked Charlottesville Jewish mayor, calling him a little creep, that's Jew speak synonym, the crowd responded by chanting, "Jew, Jew, Jew. Jews will not replace us. and Sieg Heil. Let's hope they are small in number, but they are not small enough, as we discussed last week. Former KKK leader David Duke, an early Donald Trump supporter. Someone you may recall on the campaign trail Donald Trump managed to not distance himself from. Touted his movement support for Trump and called the rally a turning point in the effort to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. But obviously they were mischaracterizing our brave and fearless leader, who, as you all know by now, since it's 4 days old, which in this administration makes it ancient news, President came out with a very weak response, despite his advisors cautioning him otherwise, and blamed the unrest on many sides, many sides. Many sides? The Daily Stormer, a neo-Nazi publication, noted of President Trump's post-Charlottesville news conference that, when asked to condemn, he just walked out of the room. Really, really good. God bless him. Leading God to come out with a less equivocal response than Donald Trump did, God saying, how come every asshole on the fucking planet always tends to drag my name into their shitstorms? So Trump refused to turn on his alt-right, his white supremacist base. Well, the cleanup crew got to work again. The crew's job it is to clean up the shit that pours out of Donald Trump's, our fearless leader's mouth. And only 2 days later, President Trump was brought to heel. Showed that he could come out, be more considerate, and understand what's really going on. And came out and said, without a whole lot of enthusiasm, no, this is racism is bad, white supremacy is bad. And that new and improved program Trump lasted almost a whole day when we quickly were informed about how serious and committed the president was to his words calling out neo-Nazis. Alt-left activists are as much to blame as Nazis, according to our president. This is the false equivalence that we've been talking about endlessly on this show coming out of the right. Well, sure, the Nazis are bad, but you know, the Jews aren't completely innocent either here. Sure, the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists are bad, but you know, the left did some bad things too. So they're now trying to coin a new name, the alt-left, as a way to respond to the self-proclaimed alt-right. Oh, but people with the alt-left engaged in violence as well. And thus we equate the bigots with people who are speaking out, maybe even lashing out, against bigotry and discrimination. Fighting is evil. Whether you're fighting for lynching or to avoid being lynched, let's just put it all in the same category. Then our great and glorious leader went on to say, since the rally was prompted by the removal of a statue to Robert E. Lee, is it George Washington next? And then later on, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. We're going to take down all his statues as well? And thus, the very subtle distinction between people who wrongly created the United States in America, but lived in a time of slaves, and had slaves, are simply lumped into the same category as people who sought to rip this country apart, to create a new country, to fight for their right to enslave people, which is what it continues to be to this day. There is no alt-left. There is an alt-right, and there is every conceivable, thinking, rational, borderline intelligent human being on the other side. German Chancellor Angela Merkel came out strongly condemning neo-Nazi and white supremacist violence, but not the President of the United States. So we had this false equivalence. Bigots and anti-bigots are the same thing. Some Republicans have come out and shown the president the way and have said the right things and have unequivocally condemned white supremacy. Of course, where are the rest of the Republicans? Where have they come out en masse to say this political party, without equivocation, condemns bigots, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and the KKK? In fact, while we're at it, why don't we condemn statues, monuments, schools named after people whose whole history, whose whole persona is about keeping people down, ripping this country apart, about promoting slavery, Jim Crow, lynching, the KKK. As several people have started pointing out, how would you feel if you were a German citizen, especially if you were a German Jew, and you went to Joseph Goebbels High School? How would you feel if you were an American Jew and you were asked to go to a high school named after a Nazi leader? Let's understand what it is like in this country for people of color. And let's understand how the other side, this is their motivation. It is not about their history, states' rights. It is about promoting white supremacy. They are, most of the Republicans, afraid of their base. Their base, which believes in white supremacy, though it may not want to say it too loudly. We've said before on this show, and we keep getting more and more evidence to support this, Hillary Clinton's infamous comment about the basket of deplorables was wrong primarily because she apparently made the basket too small. This is gut check time for Trump voters. We've been hearing from all kinds of Trump voters who are people we know and sometimes even like in our everyday lives. Oh, it's just that I don't like Hillary. I don't like a lot of things about Trump. I'm not about the alt-right. I'm not about bigotry. I'm not about any of that. I just think that we need something different. Well, the battle lines have been drawn now. Which side are you on? If you can't call this out, if you are a supporter of this piece of shit and the people who follow this piece of shit, I got news for you. You're a piece of shit. And enough calling yourself someone in the middle who just doesn't like both sides. At this point, if you are supporting this, you are racist, bigoted scum. Make a choice and live with yourself and identify with who you really are, if that's the choice you make. When the Republicans who have called this out get the upper hand, we're really in a lot of trouble. When some of our moral leaders on this issue include Jeff Sessions, our Attorney General, when he's the moral conscience of your administration, the guy who's conducting the Justice Department to basically stamp out its efforts to combat limitations on civil rights. The guy who, you might recall, years ago was denied a federal judgeship, could not get confirmed for a federal judgeship because of his blatantly racist views and statements. This is now the moral exemplar of your administration? Mike Huckabee came out with a strong statement against white supremacy. Good for Mike Huckabee. This is the guy who wraps his blatant bigotry in his shroud of Christianity and is an outspoken bigot against, for instance, people who don't have the same sexual inclinations that he has. This is the man who fathered the daughter who is currently the biggest liar supporter of the liar in chief. And he's now our moral exemplar. Ted Cruz came out with a strong statement condemning this. Ted Cruz? The Republican Party needs to take a lesson from Ted Cruz? So some are coming out and saying the right things, and good for them for doing it, and where are the rest of them? But of course, actions speak louder than words. Even when they do get the words right, where are the actions to back up those words? Well, let's take a look again at the actions of the Trump administration and the Republicans and the leaders in Congress that could be feeding this white supremacy. An administration that tends to be filling itself with leaders of the alt-right or blatant bigots. Steve Bannon, famously of Breitbart, that he described as the platform of the alt-right, and for a long time, Donald Trump's right-hand man. Stephen Miller, that smug little piece of shit, who's on TV all the time now speaking for Donald Trump and this administration. He, with his strong ties to white supremacist leader Richard Spencer, and his rise up through the alt-right ranks to positions of power through Jeff Sessions and now through Donald Trump. Sebastian Gorka, a longtime fixture on Fox News and now hitting the mainstream because of the platform he's being given by the ultra-right. And his ties to actual Nazis in Hungary. An utter lack of any professional credential to go on TV and talk about anything. When the administration is filling our federal courts with judges from the ultra-right wing of the U.S. spectrum, opposed to civil rights, equal rights for disadvantaged minorities. This to curry favor with the Republican Party and the Republican base. It's recently we've been reminded that Trump has been seeking to redirect Justice Department anti-extremism resources. Anti-extremism resources designed to combat extremists and extremist violence. Well, the Trump administration has been seeking to move all that money only directed towards Muslim perpetrators of extremist violence and extremism. I guess ultra-white extremists are not a threat? Well, it's hard to start any discussion with after 9/11, given the significance of 9/11. But as long as we're on that subject, post-9/11, the greater threat to America has been from ultra-right white nationalist extremists in America, who have killed about five times as many and injured way more, a higher number than that, than Muslim extremists have injured in America. Let's move the fight against the white extremists. Why? Because they are the base. Justice Department and civil rights. Justice Department has been moving away from promoting civil rights. We're apparently, as Wright likes to say, in post-racial America. What has become clear is that there is no such thing as post-racial America. Racism was, continues to be, this country's founding and original sin. And while we have in many cases made great strides, understand that it is the one of the primary goals of the people currently running this country to move backwards on this issue, to make sure that whatever strides we've made, we go back in the opposite direction. So here's the Justice Department publicly declaring that they're going to start suing colleges on behalf of white people who didn't get into colleges and think they should have because of affirmative action. What message is this sending? We have a Republican Party and an administration that continues to be hell-bent on denying voting rights to people of color in this country under the false flag of voter fraud. We've talked before about the Voter Fraud Commission, which is all about doing the bidding of the ultra-right. It's time to call this out, everybody. Trump's cute comments in front of the police a week or so ago. Don't be so nice with these suspects. Close your eyes, everybody, and imagine the color of the suspects that Donald Trump was probably talking about. Certainly, if you are a white supremacist, you know the color that he was talking about. Our efforts to retreat from gains made to limit discrimination in the military. Why is it that every time there's bad news for this administration, Trump goes back to his fail-safe of throwing red meat to the animals, to the dogs? John Oliver said it best this weekend, Nazis are like cats. If they like you, chances are it's because you've been feeding them. There's a reason that the Republican Party gets the support of racists. The Southern Strategy was not implemented by Donald Trump. That's been in place for almost half a century and was all about Republicans recapturing the South, which had been strongly in Democratic hands, admittedly racist Democrats, because the Republicans were still seen as the party of Lincoln 100 years after the Civil War. And so Republicans couldn't get elected to anything in the South. But you know that Republicans now control the South entirely. How is that? Well, because the Southern Strategy painted Democrats as the party of civil rights. And that worked. The Equal Justice Initiative has come out and announced latest findings that there were more than 4,000 lynchings in this country since the Civil War to about 1950 in just a few southern states. More than 4,000 murders of black men, women, and children. This is what they're fighting for. Well, let's leave this story on a hopeful note because there has been a lot of inspiring pushback on this one. Demonstration across the country. Many, with thousands and thousands of people attending. Find out where demonstrations are in your neighborhood and fight for the right. Not that right, the correct right. Speaking of moral exemplars that really tell us how much trouble we're in, the CEO of Merck Pharmaceuticals publicly quit Trump's Manufacturing Council and was followed by many other business leaders. Several right now and counting. Despite the fact that their excuses for leaving the council were tepid at best and did not call out white supremacists generally by its name, let's just point out that when big pharma gets the upper moral hand on you, there's something seriously, seriously wrong with you. Just this morning, it was announced that the Baltimore City Council had voted to remove and then immediately removed It's four Confederate statues. That's good news, except, of course, what the hell were four Confederate statues still doing in Baltimore? Let's hope that there will be public pressure put on lots of places around this country to pull down their monuments to slavery, oppression, and murder. Disparate hate groups can't remain united for long. Unite the Right rally? Good luck with that. Let's be honest. These are stupid jackasses that know nothing but hate. These are not likely candidates for an alliance on the right. Already, the alliance is split by many people who wouldn't show up at the rally because they're hard right scumbags, but they're still not disgraceful enough to march with Nazis or some of the other scum that was marching. This is a group that cannot remain united for long. And mostly, this is another reminder to Americans about the Trump administration and what's going on in this country. This is not normal, and it will never be normal. Anyway, there is some other news that we want to get to quickly. Russia. We don't want to leave Russia out completely for a week. Obviously, it's old news, but now we found out that about a month ago, a little less than a month ago, the FBI raided the home of former Trump campaign advisor, chairman, Paul Manafort, looking for tax and foreign banking records. And thus, it gets closer and closer and closer to the president. We talked last week about Trump not reacting to Russia's expulsion of hundreds of Americans, American foreign workers, as a way to retaliate against the United States taking action against their impacting a U.S. presidential election. And Donald Trump came out finally and spoke out about this and praised Putin and thanked Putin for kicking them out because it'll save America money. And thus, the man who has shown such respect for U.S. intelligence agencies now shows similar respect for U.S. foreign workers. Good job. Cleanup crew came out for that one and said, ha ha ha, the president was only joking, of course. You know, he's such a kidder. While the president, at the same time, was proving them wrong on that one. There's good news for those of you who are part of the Oh, They're All Bad campaign. Public Citizen is reporting that states are halfway to the number necessary to overturn the Citizens United decision that further opened up the floodgates of campaign funding and the purchase of our government by the wealthy. Half the required number of states seeking a constitutional amendment to limit this money have already signed on. Find out if your state is one of them. Send some emails, make some phone calls to overturn this terrible decision. Public Citizen also noted that corporations are still offshoring their jobs and getting federal contracts with no repercussions for all their offshoring. Remember how Donald Trump was talking tough? Remember that's why you supposedly voted for him? Not because you're a white supremacist piece of shit, but because he was going to bring the jobs back? Remember that? Well, turns out they're moving out of the country and he's doing nothing about it. Remember that big photo op he had early in his administration where he saved, what, 7, 8, 11 jobs at Carrier? It's a little more than that, 100-something, 200-something. United Technologies, the owner of Carrier, has moved 1,200 of its 2,000 jobs abroad. Funny, I didn't see the press op on that one. No photo op. No big, glorious moment with Donald Trump waving goodbye as the ship sailed with all those jobs on it. Trump administration is ending grants to local governments and health groups to run teen pregnancy prevention programs. That's right. Again, it doesn't matter who's running this country. Democrats fund teen pregnancy prevention programs, awareness programs, the kind of education that allows teens to make better choices and avoid unwanted pregnancies and the abortions that frequently result. But now we've got a Republican administration so anti-abortion that they will be making sure there are more of them. Because it turns out what they really are against is sex, or at least anybody else having it. I guess, just like the Taliban. Okay, a few minutes. I want to spend the last few minutes that we're talking about that we have here. I had the opportunity this past week to go visit the home of former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Those of you who are aware of such things, being a liberal, in fact, being a socialist, he is, of course, one of my heroes. Well, I got a chance to visit his home, his presidential library, with my family. And while I'm walking through there, I had several observations that I wanted to share with our listeners and our viewers. The first thing that strikes you when you go to FDR's home is his obscene wealth. It is remarkable how much land they have in a beautiful spot. I think it was about 1,500 acres. I tried to explain that to my children what that meant. Much of it along the edge of the Hudson River. And I think about how much obscene wealth there is on this planet. At the same time, there is such tremendous deprivation. I look at his home, and then you read the article in the New York Times about the Italian fashion designer that sells $100,000 cufflinks and $25,000 suits. And they're expanding. In a country where more than one out of five children is living in poverty, what the hell kind of a human being is it that wants to buy $100,000 cufflinks or $25,000 suits? Okay, it's obvious at least one kind of a human being that is, and that's Donald Trump, who likes to surround himself with gold while people around him starve. While you look at FDR's obscene wealth, you still look around and you say, well, this was old money. There was still a time where people didn't like to flaunt their wealth. At least that's what they like to tell you when they're there. The home is big. It wasn't so as big when he lived there. It was interesting. This huge property only had two bathrooms. And they weren't lined in gold. There was a sense back then of noblesse oblige. The idea that if you were born into incredible amounts of money, you have an obligation to give back. Thrust upon you is an obligation to help others. He may have been wealthy, but FDR represented that noblesse oblige. He sought to help poor people. He tried to care for those who were less fortunate. And what a contrast to today, with Donald Trump and a Republican Party that thinks what we need to do is give people like FDR more money by taking health care away from millions of Americans. As you go through the library, you see that FDR's four sons all went to war in World War II. Apparently none of them had a bone spur. Is that what it was that got Trump out? Was it a bone spur? I forget what it was when he wasn't having his deferments. What a different time it is. Back to a time when Americans with political ambition felt that they and their children actually had to go to war to show that they were not privileged elite. And now we've got Trump, whose support is all premised on the idea that he's not like us. He's different. He's elite. I want to be like that too, where the rules don't apply to me. When you go through and you see how disabled he was with no use of his legs, and how it was hidden from the American public for basically the entirety of his campaign and his presidency. And you think about what different times there were then and now, his affair that he was having. Now, of course, his disability would have been on the front page. I don't want to say this is a bad thing. It's probably a good thing that we now know more about people. Most of our presidents, we even have their tax returns. That's probably a good thing. Maybe it says more about us that a guy who's disabled from the waist down, who made himself stronger from the waist up to compensate, would somehow, back then and maybe now, be disqualified from becoming president of the United States because of his lack of perfection. Maybe we're moving in the right direction there with Donald Trump, a man who wears his imperfections like other people, wear hats. But you look at the, you go through the library and you see the more things change, the more they stay the same. A few years ago, I also had the chance to visit the JFK Library in Boston. And I was struck then as and now by however much things changed, they seem to be the same. The Republican criticism against FDR were exactly the same as the criticisms today. Socialist wants to help the poor, soak the rich, tax and spend. Spending money we don't have, deficits. With Kennedy, it was flip-flop, flip-flop, just like we've seen in every election other than up until Mitt Romney made that unusable for Republicans. It doesn't change. At least back then, the threat of socialism was a real one. We're not living in the failure of communism. Communism was ascendant, and we were fighting against it. But the efforts to stop the New Deal, federal government spending that ultimately brought us out of the Depression. Depression, just like our last economic catastrophe, brought about by financial impropriety and extreme disparities in wealth. Too much money held by too few rich people and not enough for the rest of us. Just reliving history. Ultimately, New Deal spending, building bridges, all the infrastructure that we supposedly need, that Donald Trump even paid lip service to, but of course ran into the Republican wall against government spending then and now. How the New Deal was working, government spending was bringing us out of the Depression, but faced with all the criticism, FDR pulled back on it, and pulled back on a little bit too early, and sent us into a double dip. Depression sent us back into the catastrophe until more spending in World War II spending ultimately brought us out of it. And World War II, the same forces that led to the rise of racism, income inequality, economic deprivation, ignorance, anger, fear, hatred of the other. How FDR knew that the fight was against Hitler. But that was a hard fight to bring to the American public. The Japanese, after all, were the ones who bombed us, even though Hitler was declared war on us the next day. And the Japanese looked different. They were easy to prey upon. They were easy to turn into the enemy. FDR had to work hard to get the American public to understand that Germany, white people, were the real enemy. The extent to which racism was so much a part of our elections, our war effort, our immigration policies during the war. And finally, on the way up, I was trying to give my six-year-old son background on FDR and why he was so important. And we got into a conversation about FDR, and ultimately, of course, it led to atomic weapons and the end of World War II. And I had to talk to my son about the fact that we have weapons to destroy the world many times over. And we have counted on wise, judicious, thoughtful people who at the end of the day, even when the United States was at Cold War with the Soviet Union, the evils of communism, that we had reasonable people in charge of these nuclear weapons to make sure that we did not destroy the planet. And then we had to talk about Donald Trump. That's it for today's show. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like what you heard, or even can tolerate what you heard, please like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal. We'll be right back.